Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, we are dropping in at the start of the episode to let you know that we have a new side piece podcast.
No, don't tell anyone. I told you that in confidence.
Honestly, I view it as the main piece.
Okay.
At this point, I want to transition from Filthy Casuals to Hollywood Phonies, a new podcast that we three are doing together.
Yep.
It'll be seasonal, so we'll release batches of episodes. Maybe, I think we're doing 6 in the first season.
Yeah.
And a different number or the same number in future seasons.
Mm-hmm.
For the moment, though, there's 2 episodes up right now on 99% probably of podcast apps. There's bound to be one called, like, you know, Mr.
Donkey,
Bean Pod.
Donkey Pod.
Donkey Pod. I can't get it on Mule Pod.
Please.
Well, it's basically Donkey Pod. Switch over.
If you use a podcast app that had like one review in the app store when you download it, please don't ever message us asking why the pod's not on there
yet. There's nothing we can
do
about it. However, I wish it were, because I want you to listen to Hollywood Phonies as well, which we are doing in tandem with Filthy Casuals, obviously.
Yeah.
Ben is having a fun little joke. It is a podcast, let's tell you, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Hollywood Phonies is a podcast where the fake movies that are in the background of real movies turn into real movies from us, fake movie makers.
Yeah. So the first 2 episodes that are out, we think are probably a couple of the most famous examples. We have Angels with Filthy Souls from Home Alone, the movie that Kevin McAllister plays to talk to the pizza delivery guy and then scare off the bandits. It's a sort of fake noir movie that doesn't actually exist, but a scene of it is in Home Alone. We imagine the entire plot. We do some casting. We do a little trailer at the end.
Yep.
And then we did it for Sack Lunch from Seinfeld, which is another one that people have been sending through to us before we revealed what was in the show.
Yep.
And yeah, another one where we imagine the plot, we cast it, and we edit together a fun little trailer.
Yeah. We take what we've got from either the poster or the clip or the little ways that it's talked about.
Yeah.
We use that as our, it's like a little mystery podcast where we've got our little clues, and then we, the film detectives, try and ascertain what the entire plot would be.
Mm.
And so there's 2 up now. We've banked a bunch of them. They're somewhat worryingly, they're getting stupider and stupider the more we do of them.
Yeah.
But we'd love you to go check it out. It's on all the apps.
Yes.
Including Mulecast and Donkey Dick Pod.
Yeah.
Bean.
Fernando. What's his name?
Greg
Castropod.
Oh.
I just had an image of him in my head. You can see from that how good us improvising.
Right.
No, it is very funny.
Castropod is, I think, the scientific designation of a certain kind of animal.
Yeah,
castropod.
It's octopuses.
But
it's on Octopod. You can get 8 copies of it there.
Hollywood Phonies, by the way, Phonies.
Yep.
At Phonies Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. What else do you need to know?
Check it out. Let us know what you think. And if you've come across any good, funny looking fake movies in the background of real movies or TV shows, send them through to us at the socials. But go check it out. And now on, enough talk about our guma, on to our main, our beautiful, loving wife, Carmella, Filthy Casuals.
Gabagool's not coming back, by the way.
So I'm really, really excited to share this movie with my friends and family. As an actor, all of my friends are carpenters.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by 3 very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. Joining me as always...
Whoa, it's Ben Vanell here. We just went and saw a movie. Joining us, it's the Sully of the podcast.
Hey, I'm sweating like a hot guy in a fat suit over here.
Okay.
Which is what I am.
That's how you see yourself.
Yeah, I've not eaten too much. I've just... I'm just in a fun costume.
It is fun.
My name's Adam Knox.
I'm sweating like a whore in a Hoyts at Docklands at 11 a.m.
That was the thing I was avoiding. But we went and saw Uncharted, which we'll talk about later on. But
we'll do at the end of the episode about that because, look, there's not much of a plot to spoil, to be honest, but we might do some spoilers. So we'll save that for the second half.
Yep.
Before that, fucking heaps of shit's been going on in video games world.
Fucking video games. Man,
they're still putting them out. We're like just away from like the big deluge of stuff I really want to play.
So oh, is it? Like, it's coming soon. Yes.
Yeah, tomorrow is Horizon, and then Elden Ring is in a week.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of stuff even in the weeks after that. And I've been in like a weird holding pattern lately, just like not wanting to overdo it. You know when you're going to go on holiday and so you don't wear shorts for a month?
Yeah, you want to really settle into day-to-day life. You're like, I'm wearing a shirt and slacks every day.
But you got to get all your chores done. You're trying to eat okay because you know you're going to blow it out for this holiday.
Yeah.
I feel like that right now.
Mm-hmm. So have you been engaging? Have you turned on your consoles at all? Have you packed them down, put them back in the box, hidden them from sight to remove the temptation?
Please. No, in no way.
Okay.
I turned them on to renew Game Pass.
Oh yeah.
I turned it on the PlayStation to start downloading Horizon.
Preload.
I'm here. I'm ready. I'm doing that weird little crouch that runners do on the starting line.
I'm coming up to you and being like, hey, while you're getting ready to run, do you want to play Olly Olly World? And you're like, nah,
I can't. I do, but later.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be playing video games. So I can't play video games of course. I won't want to play video games.
Yeah, yeah. You spoil your appetite.
Yeah, end of last year was pretty packed as well. So just having a month to just kind of, just engage with the odd thing that's come along.
Yeah.
Not having an absolute swarm of games. But I've been playing more of Olly Olly World, loving it, getting near the end. It gets tricky.
It does get tricky.
It gets tricky.
Yeah.
You've finished it now.
Yes, last week I had played it for an hour in the morning before we recorded. This week I've played the whole damn game.
Wow.
I've clocked it. I've done every level, no checkpoints used, and I've got most of the high scores too. But there's like a lot of stuff. There's a lot of like I guess challenges they're called, right? Where it's like high five this guy who's only in the background of one, you know.
Right.
You need to have an intimate knowledge of the level to know that you've got to like swerve that way to pick up all five of the little things or whatever.
But I found it so Moorish, and it's really like, you know, it's not a story game, it's not a narrative, so I was just like popping on a podcast and just like going for hours.
Which one?
Filthy Casuals.
You should try it, Hollywood Phonies. It's available on every podcast app right now.
But yeah, great game.
Yeah.
Really recommend it to I've played more of it since last week.
Yeah.
But just solidifying that recommendation.
Yes.
It's fun.
I think I maybe even said in the chat, it's like, it's my game of the year so far. I love it. It's so well done from top to tail, you know, like they've just.
From nose to tail.
From ass to elbow.
From skateboard. Hold on.
Oh, God. Interrupts.
I'm so scared too. Because, yeah. Hey, stop talking for a second. I'm going to sneeze. We literally just saw Uncharted 2 and I was sitting in a cinema, unfortunately, next to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Who came in like halfway through the movie and then sat, and that was fucking annoying.
And we saw it at 11 a.m. on a Thursday, to be clear.
But now I've sneezed twice. I'm worried I got COVID off him. But
you already had COVID.
But you can get it twice.
Not this soon, I don't think.
No, you get at least 30 days.
Hey.
Money back guaranteed.
I will promise you that my body is capable of terrible things.
Well, you're boosted as well, right?
I'm boosted.
You're boosted and you've had it within the last month. So if you do get it, you're a fucking bozo, mate.
I got to go to the doctor and like I've got a serious problem if I get it again.
Yeah. You're a medical anomaly.
Yeah.
They're calling him the man who's had COVID 15 times. What is the record, I wonder? It's got to be like a nurse who's just getting it like fucking weekly or something, right?
He's the man who has an IQ of 3.
Yeah.
Also, he got COVID twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went in for a routine COVID checkup, but unfortunately, it turned out he was the dumbest man ever.
Yeah, that's Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean's getting COVID, like, in the COVID test line for sure.
Yeah.
That would have been worth bringing him back.
Little mask on Teddy. I feel like we've said that before, which is crazy.
Have. Yeah, I think we have done
Nothing
a Mr. Bean.
Nothing wrong with saying it again when it's that good.
Hey, if you can get COVID twice, you can do the Mr. Bean gets COVID bit twice.
Exactly. If you want to hear the full Mr. Bean COVID bit, I believe it's on our Patreon podcast.
For real?
Nintendo 69. Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
We have one. I said Mr. Bean in the promo thing that we just did for Hollywood Phonies, so you would have heard at the start of this episode. I mentioned Mr. Bean as well, so I need to expand my horizons. Anyway,
speaking of horizons,
I forget my fucking point with Olly Olly World. Oh yeah, I was just saying,
it's a video game,
top to tail, but in terms of a skateboard,
yeah.
Are you goofy or are you regular?
Top to tail slide.
Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, yeah.
You should have just thrown to me.
I should have done a lot of things. I'm eating a box of popcorn. I feel like shit.
Yeah,
but Dan,
yeah.
Sitting on a plane playing Olly Olly World, God, I felt cool.
Yeah.
Anyone who walks past me knows that I'm an absolute shredder.
It looks like a fun game. That was actually one thing that I played a little bit of is the first Olly Olly.
Oh, that's right.
Because it was on sale for like $3 for the two of them on the Switch. Mm. And it's a cool way of doing the controls. I assume they're very similar to Olly Olly World where... You know, you're pulling the stick down and then launching it up to do a ollie.
I never got fully used to that, which is bad for a game where it's very intricate.
Right.
But occasionally I would just... Because you do press A to push off.
Right.
So
it gets you a lot. Like, there's a lot of different... And it still is throwing tutorials at you every few levels. It's giving you new stuff that you can do. But a lot of it is like sort of option... Like, you can finish the level basically just by... grinding and jumping.
Yes.
And maybe doing the odd grab.
Yep.
But then you've also got like manuals and landings and spins and stuff that are like, if you're someone that really wants to chase that highest possible score, it's giving you a pretty big arsenal of things to be able to all string together.
Yes.
But most of it is like I'm still not confident enough in like having that dexterity of like doing them all on the fly very quickly as well.
Yeah.
Because you're also moving very fast.
Yeah, yeah,
I just
want
to get through all the levels and then maybe I'll go back and try and get some high scores.
I tend to wait till there are little half pipes, very rarely, but there are occasionally a little half pipe bit in the level where you're like, you just go up and you come back down. And so that's when I try and chuck in a spin and a grab and stuff like that.
How long do you reckon that now that you've circled the Olly Olly World, the Magellan of skateboards,
yes.
How long do you think you put into it?
I would say maybe... 8 or 9 hours.
Okay.
And Magellan didn't actually sail all the way around.
Save it for the spoilers about Uncharted.
All right, Tommy Holland. But yeah, it's not a long game in terms of like getting to the end and making your own skill progression. For me, at least, I did find it quite hard to start with and I was pretty good by the end. But there are some cool challenges in it. Like trying to do the whole level in one combo is really fun because you can.
Right.
Like you keep up momentum fairly well, so you can manual all the way between one, you know, grind pole to ramp to jump. Like, you can, it's very, I think you did mention it last week, Nox, it's similar to an endless runner.
Yeah,
in that sense.
Right, right, right.
So I'm hitting a lot of bits, though, where I'm having to do it, like, a number of times to get through.
Right.
Because it's like, you're really having to just, like, learn.
Yes.
Learn the level.
Yes.
Like you'll have these like these tiny little grind rails that have these big gaps between them.
Yeah.
And if you're not like having to just really get it down to like that kind of like muscle memory kind of twitch thing.
Yeah.
To get through.
Someone's made this joke before, but they should sell it in a double pack with Oxenfree. That's for anyone in America who used to play Tiggy. Olly Olly Oxenfree. Don't know why the fuck they say that. Really annoying phrase. Yeah. Always bothered me.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
I didn't like the game Oxenfree either, so fuck you.
Do you really think someone's made that joke before?
Yeah.
That is a salient question, yeah.
I 100% think that would have happened before.
No one else does a comedy podcast about video games.
Not true.
For us.
Not true. You can type in the name of this podcast.
I mean, actual comedy. Like, I've listened to some of them.
Well, at least we're the only thing called Filthy Casuals.
Yes. Yes.
Podcast, clothing brand.
Yeah.
No such thing exists with that name.
No duplication whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yep. April 15th, 2021. Olly Olly and Oxenfree announced on the same stream. Thinking face, thinking face, thinking face.
Huh.
Okay.
That's the same joke.
Yeah. Was that a tweet?
There's another tweet. There's also Oxenfree, which I heard is the sequel to Olly Olly. No one's said it. with quite the same level of charm. Mm,
yeah. Well, you asked it as a question, so.
Exactly.
You're leading the other conversation participant into fulfilling the promise.
Yeah, you're the only one going, they should be in the same box, thereby right. having that joke on the box. These people are just going, a bit weird, isn't it? It's like, not right. really, they're just two different games.
Jason Fitzer on Twitter. I can't be the only one who noticed that a game named Olly Olly and Oxenfree were in the same Nintendo Direct. And Jason, you're absolutely right. Yep. You are not the only person who noticed.
You're among five or six.
We've got to get Jason on this pod as a guest next week.
Yeah.
Talk us through the tweet from a year ago.
Yeah, find out what Adam's going to say in a year from now.
Yeah. So yeah, Olly Olly World, I think, yeah, big recommendation from mm-hmm. us. I've been playing Sifu, which Nox, you've also played. You talked yep. about that last week. I love it.
Yeah.
It is hard. It in the first level, I got the way all the way through. I'd lost about 8 lives, which upon retrospect is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Because
I've died full 75 times in the second level several times now.
That's not bad at all. And like when they've announced this week that they are going to be adding an easy mode
yeah.
and then some other little bits and pieces mm-hmm. as like, you know, free update mm-hmm. later on, which is great because I really like that game as well. But I'm just finding that I don't know if it's that I'm like bad at fighting games or just like that this specific thing. It's mainly the timing with the parry
yeah.
thing that yeah. I just have not been able to get.
Well, you can just block as well, which like the temptation right. is always to parry, which I've been doing as well.
I love to parry.
But you can just block and you can dodge, which I've started doing a bit more as well.
Right, yeah. Dodging, great. Parrying, yeah. though.
That's the good shit. Then you get Man. A little Y and X, like, bam, do the special takedown, get some health back. But
it's so embarrassing for someone if they're attacking you and you just parry it. If yeah. you dodge out of the way, they're like, well, you're the coward.
Yes.
Right. If they parry it, they're like, oh, no.
Egg on
Not
my
only
face.
Did they see my attack coming, they were able to deflect it.
Yeah. In the exact millisecond window yes. at the right time.
And then my friend beat him up and his beard grew. This guy's the scariest person I've ever seen.
But I think I will be holding out for... The easy mode was the thing that made yeah. me go, okay, I think I'll go in when that comes out. I just don't see myself having a... I'm interested in this, but not enough to really feel like I want to have my ass completely beaten by it. So yeah. an easy mode would be the thing that would probably make me be like, yeah, I'd be happy to get this now and work my way through it.
It's very well directed. I think it's worth playing on easy just for yeah how well it's presented. I loved like the opening credits is also a tutorial,
mm-hmm.
which you fight through like the sort of shadow version of your big gang of enemies, which I thought was sick. But... Yeah, I think there's a bit of a difficulty spike. I will say, as opposed to something like Returnal or like a genuine roguelike, after you beat the first level, you retain however many lives you have when you beat the first level. So yeah. like I died 8 times, so I'm 28. And so I can attempt the second level and die. And when I go back to the sort of hub bit, I'm still 28. I'm not retaining right. like...
Whatever know. Your like best score yeah. is, right? Your youngest age, you can keep
yes.
that.
Which is... A load off my mind.
It gives yeah. you yeah some extra like you get keys that let you go through little quick passageways yep. in some of the levels and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it is helping you out, and the gameplay is satisfying and fun.
Mm.
So it isn't like off putting.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just is.
There's a frustrating difficulty spike.
Just not quite enough early on that the game makes you do to properly learn it. It gives you, it lays out all these moves for you and it's great. And then the way that you practice is by playing the game and doing it again and again and dying and whatever.
Yes.
But
there is a practice mode.
There is. Yeah. You can go so, and like just beat up like a dummy in your house.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is very fighting game. You know, like yeah. there's always that training mode in your Tekkens and stuff.
But yeah. it does feel exactly like that, like a fighting game practice mode where, which is another location in which I forget every possible combo
yeah, yeah.
that you're able to do. Every input is meaningless to me.
It's such a different, it's like the assumption being that you're there with the manual open,
yeah.
the list of all the moves that yeah. you're just kind of like looking at and then like... practicing getting it down into muscle memory.
Just someone who was able to remember phone numbers in the 90s or whatever. Like, mm. great, good for you. You'll be able to go, oh, yeah, up and triangle to punch him in the balls. That's the one I remember.
Yeah, down, up, leg sweep.
Yeah.
Which is good for breaking guards and stuff. But then, yeah, that second level is fucking hard.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm even halfway through it and I'm, yeah, just keep dying.
But it's great. It is a fun game.
Really good.
Yeah.
Any other?
If you want to play it, you can.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
When's that easy mode drop?
I wonder who tweeted that. Let me find out. I don't know. I don't think they've given that a date yet.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't think it's like too far away.
Right.
Because Returnal was like fucking ages until they put in the save.
That's
and everything.
Right. That's
like
true.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be at that scale.
What else is going on?
Well,
in the world?
I tell you what happened within the last week.
We got a bit of news. We got some trailers and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a bit interested in that. That fucking Wolf Among Us 2.
I'm big interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big style.
Man, going to see a movie has made us all dumber. I really feel like my IQ is 3.
I've been telling you guys for years.
That thing's rotting your brain.
Yeah. Yes, The Wolf Among Us 2, a very long-awaited sequel. Talk about waiting for the easy mode. This has been coming out for like fucking a decade or something.
Wolf Among Us was about 2014, right? So
that sounds right, yeah.
That is 8 years. And this is, I forget exactly what happened with Telltale, but they were going to close and someone came along and bought them up, and now it's essentially a different studio, or are the same people working there?
I believe it's a different studio. I haven't also done the research. I think they hired some people back as contractors.
Right.
Because they were finishing a game. There was a game in production, I believe, when it was liquidated.
Walking Dead, the last season, I think when it all kind of blew up, they had a couple episodes of that left to go that they thought they weren't going to be able to finish.
Right.
Yes, but you can probably look up a more detailed version of that story. But
more detailed than what we just said?
Yeah, it's somewhat.
Okay.
So you just look up someone who's written it with like maybe a 12 or 13 IQ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rather than a 3.
Yeah.
You're looking at 800 times 3 if you're looking at the number 12. Mm-hmm. As far as I, a full idiot, know.
No, I'm fucking so stoked for this. I played the first one, then I played it through a couple of different times because I just love the setting so much. Mm. Read the comics. You know, it's based on, fables.
Yep.
The trailer looks great. It doesn't look to have diverged much stylistically at all. Mm. I'm excited. I like the comics. There's a bunch of good stories in there. So whether they use one or they do a new one, I think they did a new one for the first game. So I very much trust them to just make a good game.
Great. Yeah. No, I'm back into, there's been enough of a gap of seemingly everything being a Telltale game.
Yeah.
For a little period there where,
yeah.
And having just played through Detroit on YouTube and all that again.
Oh yeah.
That sort of stuff. I'm up for doing another one of those sort of adventure type games.
Yeah. Mm. Go check that out on our YouTube channel, by the way.
Yes.
We completed it the other day.
Yeah.
Which there's still another 3 to upload or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, we've finished it. So it's, pretty soon you'll be able to binge the whole thing of us playing through Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
And we had a great time with it.
Yeah. Sick game to play with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other big thing was like we recorded just before there was a Nintendo Direct.
Yes.
Yes.
Mouthful mode.
Yes.
Was the thing I remember from that.
Yeah.
They showed off a bit of, so Kirby's out in like a month.
Yep.
Kirby famously has the power of opening his big old gob, sucking people in and absorbing their powers.
Yes.
Yep.
There's a new thing in this one called mouthful mode, which is sort of the same thing, but at least aesthetically very different.
Yeah.
You can't quite get him down.
Yeah.
He's having a hard time fully sucking down the thing he's trying to become. So instead of becoming it, he just gains control over it.
Yeah. His mouth is just full of it.
Yeah.
Which I love. This looks cool. I mean,
it's pretty weird. It turns him into like a condom looking thing.
Yeah, he looks like a condom.
Pulled tight over like a car or an escalator, I think was one of the others.
Yeah, so the trailer was like this little cutscene thing of him in an abandoned room, this like kind of rusted up old car. And they focus in on the car and you think, oh, fuck yeah, Kirby's going to be driving the car around. And then a little fox bad guy thing jumps out from behind it and you go, oh, that's a shame. It's just a bit of a red herring. It's just him battling some baddies.
Oh, no. Kirby's going to get killed by that fox thing.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Next thing you know, he's got the whole bloody car in his gob.
Yeah.
Except for the wheels and he's driving it round.
Yes.
Then what else did they show? Him sucking up a vending machine.
Oh, yes.
And launching cans at people. Like Homer when he imagines himself at Maggie's wedding and he's got his arms stuck in the vending machine.
So
he's just lobbing cans out of the crowd.
It's weird though because like Kirby could have also just eaten a car and become a car.
Yeah.
Or eaten a vending machine and become a vending machine.
Yeah.
But the fact that during the design of this they were like, I don't think Kirby could swallow a car. Someone had to go, I don't reckon he'd actually be able to swallow something that big.
Weird in Japanese. I love it. Like in the guy kind of like narrating the trailer going like, And these are very different to copy abilities. In what way? Like, not at all. Yeah. He sees something, he gets it, and then he has a different power. It's the same.
It's exactly the same, but you made it look creepy and given it a name like it's a whole mode.
Mario had a better mouthful mode. Well, he had a better Kirby mode in Odyssey.
Yeah,
right. Like he took over stuff, not just, you know, people. Like he did that as well.
But
he
Kirby went, is like getting his mouth over this thing, which means that it is not enough for him to take on the powers of that thing.
Right.
So for him to be able to control the thing, the way it looks in my head is him like pushing the accelerator and turning the wheel with his tongue.
Yeah, probably.
But I guess the difference is when he gets the powers, he gets them from something that's sentient. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the big difference, is that these are all inanimate objects.
Yes.
That he's somehow able to not fully harness the power to where it completely changes his appearance.
Yeah. His physiology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. In the other case, he's taking their full life force out.
Right.
And, so, and this is like, he's controlling the vending machine. He's getting his little tongue into the little coin slot of the vending machine.
He must be,
waggling it around to get the cans to shoot out at people.
In which case, why didn't he just like use his hands and stuff?
Why he's got just weird little flippers. He can't.
I guess so. He's got to use
his tongue. He's got to go mouthful
mode.
He's
got a prehensile tongue,
A Kirby game.
Ladies love him.
A Kirby game where he goes up into the clouds and tries to swallow up God. So that then he's Kirby God. That's the final Kirby game.
That'd no one cool. can swallow God. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the conclusion he comes to.
He makes you spit.
But I think that looks cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It looks like a fun 3D platformer. I'm into all the weird Japanese-ness of this design that clearly has been an internal conversation, much the same as we've just had about how Kirby can and cannot function with his mouthful abilities. But there were a few other things announced in this. It opened with a trailer for a new Warriors game, Fire Emblem Warriors set in the world of the most recent one, Three Houses. Mm-hmm. I think this one's called Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes.
A direct sequel again in the style of Strikers.
Right. Oh, is it a sequel or is it an alternate storyline?
I think it's a sequel.
Okay.
But now that you question me, I'm immediately caving.
I got the impression that
I'm afraid of conflict and I don't want to...
Same world at least, same like, all the school, you know, little houses and shit, like clearly the same world.
The end of it's pretty fine. Three Houses is pretty final, I felt like.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a prequel, like Breath of the Wild. So I got the impression it's like an alternate reality kind of thing with the same.
That Breath of the Wild one was a prequel, right? It could be something like that.
Time traveling-y kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Or it may even be, I'm checking and people seem to think it may be, like you're saying, an alternate reality, what if type of story. Okay.
Well, because in Three Houses you have these, like the version of the story that you see is influenced by which house you pick at the start of the game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a different game sort of for however you play it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, those Warriors, the storylines of them, they're very linear. They're very like, this is like the same thing happening. So maybe it's kind of like an amalgamation of all the sort of stuff that's in it, or it's just a clear, like a much more direct sort of. But yeah, I loved the Hyrule Warriors Breath of the Wild one. And I loved Fire Emblem Three Houses. So I'm pumped for this.
I'm interested to see how badly it runs. Speaking of amalgamations of all sorts of different things, they announced Nintendo Switch Sports.
Oh, yeah.
And all of your six favorite, three of them being basically the same sports, are back.
I was pissed off when I found out there was no boxing and no bowling.
So the best
bowling, no bowling's in it.
I don't believe it is.
No. It's volleyball, badminton, tennis.
Yeah.
And then it's...
Which are all...
sorry.
I swear to God I saw bowling in the trailer.
Bowling might be in, baseball's not. It's baseball and boxing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Sure.
You're right.
They have said they're going to add, I think, golf and another one.
They did say that,
soon
yeah.
after. So you've got six sports, and three of them, tennis, badminton, and volleyball, are all like
there were
basically
quite, this is
the same
one of
thing.
Quite a few things that were in this trailer that felt like they, in this direct, I should say, that felt like announcements that should have happened 4 years ago.
Yes.
Right. Switch sports being made when people are like, where's the new Switch?
This is a great idea. And I'm sure it'll be popular.
Yeah.
But it would have been a great, I mean, maybe packing it in, they would have had the issue of falling into the same trap again of people just being like, is this another Wii?
Right.
So the only time you can really bring it out and not have that problem is when the Switch is already firmly established.
But not... 5 years too late, you know, like bring it out the second year.
Well, 3-4 Switch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been waiting.
But that'll probably be fun. The new things they've got instead of Mii's, like they've got kind of Mii's, but they're like fully anthropomorphic
they look,
now.
Yes.
They look creepy to me.
I guess it's because they just don't really use those. Those Mii's don't really exist. I mean, you can still import them into Mario Kart and stuff, but they don't.
Yeah.
They don't really. Like Mii's were built into like. The ecos, like they'd be on your little home menu on the Wii. Like
I think you had to make one first thing you did when you turned a Wii on.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it's cool that this is coming out because they did have a Joy-Con mode in Mario Tennis.
Yes.
That I thought, oh, this will be like, this will be really fun. This will be like the fun casual, but it just didn't work.
Didn't work.
In quite the same way.
Mario Golf was also not very well implemented. It didn't,
good. Yeah. They've got a cool thing where if you've got that little leg strap from the Ring Fit Adventure, you can play soccer with that by kicking.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's kind
of
cool.
Which is a bit of fun. Yeah. There's going to add a game where you're like trying to collect money for the mafia.
Oh.
And you got to kick the body
as hard as you can.
Go for the ribs.
And they're doing a test of that, I think, this weekend.
Right now.
Of the online stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's free and you can download it now.
Yeah, which I might try and
in
get
Australia?
On and see what it's like.
Great question.
I don't think you can.
Maybe not.
Actually.
No, I think it's global. It's to test out the like.
You need Nintendo Online, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. They're bringing 48 new tracks to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
By new, I mean old.
Yep.
And by old, I mean apparently from Mario Kart Tour, the mobile game.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like.
I think it's cool that that's in the mix.
48 tracks is sick. I didn't really take that in when we were watching this, but. That is like a whole nother game and a half.
It's the same amount of tracks that are in there now.
Right.
Yeah.
In Deluxe, which has the two sort of expansions they put out on the Wii.
Right.
It's in waves, which is very annoying.
Right.
I just wish it was just a honk us the whole pack in one.
Well, I assume the reason why is because, so this is either $25 US for the whole pack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or you get it for free if you have, sorry. I'm not sad. I was just
very emotional there, yeah.
I'm trying to suppress another sneeze because I don't want to admit that I'm sneezing that much.
Yep.
Because if I am, I've got to get put in a bubble.
No, I've been sneezing a bit, especially around here. I think it's hay fever stuff.
You've dropped all that sneezing powder before.
I sneezed yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder I've got COVID. you get it for free if you have the Nintendo Switch Online
expansion
pack.
Which is plus. How expensive?
$30 a year on top. I think it's the same as Switch Online is, again, on top of paying for Switch Online.
And in
Online.
That you now get the, so it's the Mega Drive and 64 games. Animal Crossing thing and it's. Yeah, these tracks.
This.
Right.
Anyway, that is a reason why they might want to keep the release of this going over more than one year.
Oh, yeah, so don't subscribe and then get the tracks and then bail.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you lose them when you...
Yeah.
But if you want to have all of them, you'd need to subscribe for 2 years total.
You fucking idiot.
Or you can pay $25, never have Nintendo Online, and you also get all the tracks after they're all out.
But these tracks, anyway, they look worse than the ones that are in 8 because they are seemingly direct ports over from Tour.
Huh.
And which is all sort of remastered versions of tracks from the previous games.
Yeah. Oh,
Tour, I think, is mostly unique ones.
Oh, I think most of these are from, or maybe they're in the style of Tour or something.
I think it's just some are from Tour and some are from older games, right?
Nintendo haven't said this, I guess, is part of the problem. The people are kind of getting this from out of
the
trailers.
They said in the direct what's in the very first one.
They've said the tracks that are in there, but not like how they've made them or how they've sort of, the point is that it's lower quality looking than the ones that are in 8 is what to expect from these.
Yeah, but they also are doing, like they showed some of this off in the direct. Like some of them are like the ones that they've taken from the 64 and the Game Boy Advance. They've given them that full kind of they've remade them in that engine so that they're not just like pixels.
Yeah,
like the 64 ones that they re-released that they had in 8 looked
good. They looked
and
great.
Like they polished them up. But I think it's cool that they're bringing in ones from Tua and. I mean, I'd hope that down the line they chuck some of the arcade ones in there as well.
Yeah,
like, I think it'd be cool if we get those ones in that have never been on a proper console version of a Mario Kart game.
Right. So the Mario Kart Tour has 72 courses in it, and a lot of those are ones from other games.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's the ones from other games via Tour.
Right.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's not what Nintendo have said.
I think they haven't said it anything either way. They're like, this course is from the SNES.
Yeah.
But it's in Mario Kart 8 now, but it's with the graphics of 2. Does that make sense? I mean, it's nitpicking because
But
like,
when have you seen the graphics?
In the trailer.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But did they look shit?
This is from other people like going, hey, this is the same, and doing comparisons of like, here it is in 2.
Right.
And it just looks a bit flatter. Not a huge deal, but just worth noting.
They did a, they did a quick run through of what's going to be in the first wave.
Right.
And then I think for all the rest of them, they haven't.
Right.
But it's like just, and again, it's like this happening now 6 years after 8 first came out.
Yeah.
Is just, like, I'll take it. I'm wrapped, honestly. Like, 48 more Mario Kart tracks that I haven't played in ages. Like, yeah, I'm day one for all this stuff. I'm pumped that it's happening. And I guess for them, like, they did a classic tease, sort of like they did when they announced the Skyward Sword HD re-release.
Yep.
Where they were like, okay, now we know you all love playing a bit of Mario Kart. And I was on the tarmac about to take off, just revving up, going, oh, yes.
No.
Here we go. Big announcement for 9. It was like, some more tracks are coming. I was like, but you know what? 8 still sells its fucking ass off.
It's crazy.
So it's not in their interests yet. Like, they just still don't need to.
Yes.
I think it'll be seeing how well the combo of a new Nintendo console and 8, you know, it wasn't new at the time, but most people hadn't played it.
Mm-hmm.
Launching a Mario Kart early on in a console, like how well that went for them.
Oh, yeah.
I think 9 will just be a holdover for like day one of whatever the next thing is.
Yep.
At this point.
Maybe.
If they're not dropping it now and they're focusing on this for a couple of years.
If they do it ever.
That's the thing. Right. Like, I saw a few reactions of like, well, how could you even improve on it? Like, mechanically and visually, it's like, you know, the next Nintendo console is not going to be a fucking PS5. Like, Mario Kart's still going to basically look like this.
Yeah,
so probably.
It's probably just new tracks and, you know, even new characters. It's like, well, most of them are in there. So,
in which case, it should just be Smash Brothers style. And it's like, why are you stopping at 48? Put every... Just put every track that's ever been made into this game.
Go on a Google Maps and just copy paste and just let us drive anywhere.
I want to do Monaco. But yeah, I mean, that's it seemed like kind of like a weird half measure when I first watched this direct. But yeah, end of the day, double the amount of tracks of DX, 8DX is cool.
Cool that you can play them in online matches even if you haven't bought them.
Ah,
so
cool.
If you're doing online matchmaking and it comes up as the, like, it gives you, what is it? It gives you like 5 choices for everyone to vote on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they'll be able to be in the mix,
right,
even if everyone in the match doesn't have a copy of the, hasn't bought this like booster pass thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. They announced a lot of remasters and remakes and stuff like that. Like the Wii version of The Force Unleashed is going to be released.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone's been clamoring for it.
It's so weird how they presented this stuff. Like,
yeah.
These are such old games.
The Assassin's Creed Ezio collection.
Yep.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
That's cool.
Stuff like that. But then also like the Kingdom Hearts games on the cloud stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some kind of more interesting to me ones, though, like the first 2 Front Mission games.
Yep.
Which were like mech strategy games. That the third one came out on the PS1 over here.
Mm-hmm.
But the first 2 were Japan only.
Yes, yep.
Then also Chrono Cross is getting like a remaster that I think looks like a shit upgrade.
Yeah, that's just also coming out on other consoles.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
It's just got that thing where they like those Final Fantasy remasters have, where it loses all the character and like artistry of the visuals by just making them high resolution. So it's like the character portraits from the manuals are in there.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just looks a little weird. But then also that is including a weird text adventure game that came out on the Nintendo Satellaview.
Yes.
So that's kind of
some crystal bullshit or something.
Yeah, they all are. Radical Dreamers, it's called.
Yep.
Stuff like that. Portal 1 and 2.
We're Radical Dreamers.
Yeah, man. Dreaming about kickflips and shit.
Yeah.
The Earthbound games are coming to the
online party thing. Yeah.
Bits. And then Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Yeah. Yep.
And an old, is it a Square RPG?
Oh, yeah.
Called Live a Live.
Oh, Live Alive?
Live Alive. Live Alive.
Yeah.
Horrible name. But always heard this is good and it's in that like HD 2.5 HD or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
This looks, this looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like different sort of time frames. I'm interested in playing this. Klonoa's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I never
like
missed them back in the day.
Klonoa is the worst name of anything I've ever
heard. Klonoa. And we brushed over Xenoblade Chronicles 3, but that is a new game rather than a remaster. Just because we packed it in there.
And I don't think any of us are particularly interested.
No.
Not but, right.
Oh, what
really.
I am interested in, Mario Soccer.
Oh, yeah, that was the other one. Mario Strikers.
Mario Strikers Supercharged or something like that.
Yeah.
And they've kept that. The last one of them was on the GameCube.
Yeah, I reckon.
And they've kept that.
It got
like
remastered
kind of,
for the Wii as well.
Yeah.
That's where I played it.
They've kept that kind of like weird art style that the that the box art had, which I think is cool, kind of cartoony.
Yeah, 2D. Like the sort of thick lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one.
When they decided that the Looney Tunes had to have chewed. It reminds me of that sort of.
Yeah. When Bugs Bunny started saying fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I loved the one on the Wii. That adaptation or that remaster. But they've fucked up every single sports game they've released on the Switch in terms of a Mario one.
Is this Camelot?
Tennis? I'll tell you in 18 minutes. So I hope you can wait that long.
Yeah.
If this isn't Camelot, I'd have a lot more faith because I think Camelot are the ones that have been doing the dodgy work with
golf
and tennis. And I always had the feeling that the original soccer one wasn't for some reason. I had a feeling that was someone else.
You may be right.
Maybe the GameCube one wasn't. I think that it was Camelot who ported it to the Wii, though.
But tennis was all right. I didn't mind tennis, but golf is a fucking bad game. Developer is Next Level Games.
Okay. Well, this is going to be next level.
Yeah. Not next gen.
No. Absolutely not.
No.
Decidedly not.
Yeah. They are the ones who made the original Mario Strikers on the GameCube. They also made some Wii ports, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Things like that.
Okay.
Luigi's Mansion 3 even.
Right.
Okay. They're a pretty good developer.
By the way, if you can hear at this point construction noises, ignore that.
I'd be very surprised if you could.
Well, if you can, congratulations on the fantastic hearing. You can't hear that fucking drill going off?
Well, not in the
earphones.
No,
not through the
camera.
Hands.
Oh, you're wearing an earphone.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Can you hear it? You just did a test?
No.
Okay.
But they're really... They're,
what was that, Tommy?
They're tearing down Ben's gate
out
the front of his house. And we were joking when we came in. It'd be funny if they weren't contracted and it's just a... It's a good prank. Just take someone's gate out. Not to rob them or anything.
Yeah.
Just spend the whole day doing it. Take off. No gate.
We'll end up on bloody TikTok, eh?
Oh,
they got us. The gate boys are at it again.
That's it. But overall, not an amazing direct, but had no expectation of it.
Right.
And so overall, pleasantly surprised with the Fire Emblem thing, Mario Soccer, and the Mario Kart tracks.
Nintendo Switch Sports is honestly all I would have needed to be excited and happy by that direct overall, and that's what I got.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pretty cool.
You know what excites me?
What? Almost anything?
But specifically, the sponsorship of our good friends Manscaped.
Yeah.
That really gets me going.
Yeah, me too.
Makes it very hard to shave.
But as we've said before, Manscaped provide very, very high quality men's grooming products. The Performance Package 4.0 is one of the sickest little products you can get. You get your little ball lotion.
Yep.
You get a little bag. You get, I think...
the bag is one of the main selling points.
It's
actually
good
bag. A nice
it's
bag.
It's a good bag.
Little bag.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't, if you're thinking baggy like I did, which I automatically, because someone said little bag, you're getting a nice, it's got like leather sides.
It's so
it's
nice.
Yeah.
If you can hear that noise through our microphones... That's me currently using a competing brand. Listen to how awful it sounds.
It's like you're...
What a terrible, ragged job it's doing.
But
it
again,
sounds like it's pounding away at concrete.
What if no one can hear anything? Then they're going to be like, whisper
then
silent.
It doesn't work at all.
Okay.
You need to hear something to know it's working.
But of course, also in that performance package is the Lawnmower 4.0, a fantastic trimmer. I use that on my face because I still have the 3.0 that I use everywhere else. And I can tell you, personally... As a testimonial, the 4.0 is probably the best, like, cleanest, most efficient electric razor slash trimmer I've ever used in my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
So fucking good. And there's like never any nicks, never any like, you know, pinches Offerman? Or anything. No Offermans.
Cage?
No cages and no crawls. That's a Ben Vanel guarantee.
That's all of them. That's if all you want the nicks.
Giannopoulos free shave.
Yeah, go to manscaped.com, put in the code filthy, you get 10% off. 20% off, sorry. And
that's double 10.
I just increased it then.
Yep.
I got so generous.
For you?
I can
doing
sense.
A bit of Demtel work here. What's that? We're allowed to give him a bit more? All right.
Okay, yeah. The next 5,000 callers will receive 20% off and free shipping if you use the code filthy at manscaped.com. And also sponsoring us this week is a little brand called NordVPN. Adam, why don't you tell the good folks at home about NordVPN?
V. Very. P. Perfective. N. Virtual private network.
Okay.
That's nice. What they guarantee you. Yes. A very effective virtual private network.
Do you think they're Nordic?
Don't know. Good question.
Oh, the logo's a mountain.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can use
be
it.
Nordic.
Yeah.
You can use it to connect to Nordic countries or many other countries around the world to protect yourself online, be secure and safe and not let anyone track you.
Yep.
And also to, you know, maybe let some services that you subscribe to know that you're, for now, an expat.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's really useful. I use it myself. NordVPN is like been secure and reliable and trustworthy for my whole time using it.
Me too, yeah. Yeah, I've used it for years. So if you want to grab your exclusive NordVPN deal, your exclusive Filthy Casuals one, go to nordvpn.com/filthy or when you're like checking nordvpn.com on a day-to-day basis as you would.
Yeah, my homepage, yeah.
Exactly, it's homepage. You can just use the code filthy at checkout to get a huge discount and one additional month and a bonus gift. That's new. That's new copy and that's a new deal.
What's the gift?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What the fuck?
What's a gift that could be better than being able to watch anything from anywhere in the world whenever you want?
Plus, they already threw in a free month.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the bonus gift is.
That's exciting.
But maybe
that's
it's cool. A lawnmower 4.0.
We've got to hook these companies up. It is completely risk-free, of course. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, which, again, for whatever reason, if it doesn't work with your computer, which is unlikely, you can get your money back. But yeah, as Knox and I said, we've used it ourselves for years and it's the best one on the market, in my opinion. So nordvpn.com/filthy or the code filthy to get a big old discount, a free month and a mystery gift.
A mystery gift.
Oh.
Well, a gift that I received today was the gift of going to see a movie that I'd forgotten we were going to watch. If I tell you that when I woke up. And then
What movie did you think we were going to watch?
I'd forgotten that we were going to watch a movie at all.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
It's not that I knew we were going to the cinema. I was like, is this...
Are we doing Venom 2?
Yeah.
My segue was going to be enough about NordVPN. Let's talk about Naughty Dog.
That's pretty good.
Only?
Film adaptation. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it Crash?
First time on the screen, right?
Oh, wait, Crash. Crash directed by Paul Haggis.
Oh, yeah.
That was Naughty Dog.
And Jack...
Yeah.
Jack, directed by the guy who directed Jack.
Yeah, yep. And that TV show about the serial killer, Daxter.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, I hated the ending of Daxter.
They've been pumping him out.
Yeah.
So and, we went to see this at the...
Wait, did we say what it was?
Uncharted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uncharted came out today. We went to the very first screening that we could, which was at 11 a.m. here. Yep. Which I thought would be empty.
Yes, me too.
And then, someone sitting next to me gave me COVID, evidently.
Yep.
And a bunch of other people in the cinema.
Yeah, it was about 20 people, yeah.
When we first got there, it was us and then just one guy by himself behind us. And I was very disappointed that more people turned up.
Oh, you got to put that photo up so people can see the one guy.
I got a photo of the three of us and accidentally got him in the pic as well.
Yep.
We went to the same cinema that we saw Sonic the Hedgehog at.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's now sort of the official cinema of the Filthy Casuals.
It's the Filthy Casuals screening room.
Don't
go there on your own or we'll pap you.
Yeah.
But felt truly demented. Waking up and we wanted to see it the day it came out to then come and do the episode straight after it. Had to go early in the morning because otherwise it's just like it'll blow out the whole day.
Yeah.
But then just like other people going in, it's demented to me to just... Wake up and head straight to the cinema to catch a film at 11 a.m.
It's the classic thing to do as well is to be doing an activity that someone else is also doing and then going, why are you doing this?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I know I've got a real life.
Yeah.
But you...
Yeah, I'm doing this for my video games podcast.
Yes. Yeah,
a legitimate reason.
Right,
I did see another group of three men come in and I don't know if they get sent the same meme, but yeah. They look like maybe they were hosting a podcast too. But
so,
we went and saw it. We won't give spoilers for like a bit of this, I guess. We'll talk about it and review it without spoilers, but then we will talk spoilers.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but we probably will, like, yeah, if you
want
to...
If you want no detail, yeah.
Yeah, at a certain point, we're going to have to go in a little bit. So if you do want to go in 100% fresh...
Which, if you've played the games, it's impossible to go in 100% fresh because they've taken a lot of stuff from the games.
And if you've seen a Hollywood movie in the last 60 years, it's impossible to go in 100% fresh because this script... is poorly made.
It is copied and pasted from first drafts of rejected Indiana Jones scripts.
Yeah, the big kind of set piece finale thing that I would say is maybe the thing that is, you know, worth being surprised by because it's a fun sequence. It's in the trailer.
Yeah, it is.
This I also thought it was thing where it's like stuff that's in like the last 10 minutes of the movie is in the trailer.
You said when we came out that was that bit you thought was, and I thought that was one of the stupidest things I'd ever seen.
That's why I liked it.
I think for me as well, it just went over the line from being boring to, hey, at least this is stupid. But anyway, that is, we're getting very far ahead of ourselves.
Well, we opened with, we were saying, we were talking about this afterwards, a nice little PlayStation Productions logo at the start, which makes me think, remember when we were talking a few weeks ago about The Rock in Men's Health magazine dropping that he's got a video game adaptation movie coming out.
Yeah.
Just seeing that they've formalized this like PlayStation movie studio idea kind of thing, that makes me even more so. It's got to be God of War.
Oh, Sackboy for sure.
He's got to be Sackboy.
Cramming him into a little Astro Boy suit.
Yes. Half the movie's him like holding on to something and then lifting an arm up, but then just letting go of the arm he was already holding on with by mistake.
Yes. Yep.
It was like basically the same logo that they show at the start of PlayStation games, now PlayStation Studios games.
Yep.
With all the reflections of the their different characters.
Yeah, it feels like a Marvel, it feels like an MCU rip off specifically.
Yes.
Usually I'd think that the MCU was the watered down version, but it's like this is taken from. But that's what they're going for, right? They're going for that kind of audience.
They
want to
create
the assumption now is that they'll, because they show you, they do some little clips of like all the little like marquee games.
Yeah.
So is it like, okay, this is now going to be, is this the thing now? They're just going to make movies out of, is that what we can expect? An Astro Boy film?
I mean, I assume so. Like, that's surely what they want. I could see Astro Bot making a fun little cartoon or whatever.
Sure.
I don't, Astro Bot doesn't have a character.
No.
But whatever. And also, it's just, so that was part of the thing watching this. I guess you're right, that if you want to go see it Uncharted, then maybe.
If you want to go into Uncharted waters.
Go do that now.
Without a treasure map.
We'll start doing spoilers, but I think you can get the idea that all three of us are like, eh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's maybe formalize it a bit. I thought it was really boring.
Yeah.
It's one of the most boring movies I've seen in the past 5 years
it
that I've actually stuck out.
It makes the decision to... I thought it did a relatively okay job of kind of capturing the spirit of the games, but also just this decision to have it so weighted towards the puzzle-solving bits of the games, which are the bits that are, like, always, like, fine, but the bit that I think most people would agree in the games you could happily get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, three-quarters of this movie.
Right.
Just watching people solve puzzles that are, like they're out of fucking Blue's Clues.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
like...
And I think the bit that makes those boring, because I agree that it was kind of boring, is that the characters are not interesting or talking to each other in a fun way at all. The dialogue is so flat.
It's not even the kind of dialogue that we have railed against on here, of like quippy and Joss Whedon-esque. It was, to me at least,
it's not even trying to do that.
It's very boring. There was
there's like some of kind of light ribbing, I guess, you know, is the closest it gets to like banter or like genuine interaction, but mostly it's them going, where have I got to go? Up here? And Tom Holland's like, yeah, up there. And Mark Wahlberg goes, okay, I'll go up here. You better not steal any gold.
Right.
And then Tom Holland's like, you better not steal any gold.
And then the next, at the end of the scene, they both look at each other and they're holding some gold. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, the way that they meet too, the way that like the character of Sully, Mark Wahlberg, kind of comes to meet Nathan Drake is like, he just turns up one day at the bar he's working at.
It's
even
crazy.
That is like a meeting is like so uninteresting. Yeah. There's no like,
and they
stumble across each other on a little job gone wrong.
Right, they both reach for the same jewel.
Yeah, and it's like no. that's an opportunity to have like a little interesting, rather than have an interesting intro sequence, what it does is show you a bit that's again from the trailer of like the cargo falling out of the back of the, so it shows you something that's like later on in the movie.
Oh, sure.
And then so rather than have an interesting intro sequence, the intro sequence is just something that you're then going to see later again three quarters of the way through the movie.
Well, and so weirdly, so I didn't mind that as much because they did the thing that I don't mind with a flashback where they show it from a different perspective the second time.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, it was just a different part of the action scene that was cut together.
That
but
was the, yeah.
I agree with what you were saying about the... they justify it later by saying he knew Nate's brother, Sully did, and that. But it's a boring...
But it's just very indicative of everything. It's just like, he's just there in the bar.
Yeah.
He's just come and tracked it. Yeah, we find all that out later, but there's just in terms of their meaning, he's like, hey... He just literally like sees him walking around. He's like, hey.
And we don't find it out as an interesting reveal. We find it out as just like... flat explanation, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's very representative of the whole movie, right? It's like, oh, well, he's sitting there and he's like, hey, I want to talk to you. And then he's like, I don't know. Maybe I don't want to. And then later he decides to.
Yeah.
You know, it's very just like, I guess it's happening because the plot that you put on a whiteboard said it had to.
There's some shit that happens later in the movie too where like, so Nathan Drake has gone and found the ultimate goal on his own and misled everybody. And then to get everybody else there, one of the people just fucking sees him drive past. The villain just sees him drive past in his
boat.
And she's like, where's he go? And like the fucking idiot knew that she was in that exact bay.
Right.
And drove past it on a boat.
Yeah.
Fucking moron.
But some people have
I've got an IQ of 3 and I know that's stupid.
Most people have a problem with like the casting of this, saying that Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland are too young to be playing Sully and Nathan Drake, respectively. But and so the justification has been, oh, this is almost sort of like a prequel. This is like the very, very beginning of the story. But then, so we meet Nathan Drake. He's working at a bar. He's kind of like doing some little petty thefts here and there. He's kind of like stealing nice little bracelets off people and things like that. But then when he's in chase sequences in the film, he's doing like full parkour shit. And we also see him in his like house getting ready to like meet up with Sully. And he's like jacked. And so it's like,
he's doing fucking taxi driver, like ups in the
like,
doorway.
Why is he jacked and why is he so good at parkour? If this is the beginning of the story, why does he have all these skills and why is he so ripped when he's like a 23-year-old bartender that's just like hustling watches off people?
They explain that because he was bitten by a radioactive spider before you get to this one.
So, I feel like we are starting to get into specifics of the plot. So I reckon let's just say a one sentence review and let people keep listening if they want.
Yeah.
Because there's really not much to say about it except for the specifics. So like it's bland. I found it boring. I drifted off at one point. Tom Holland has no charisma in this movie specifically. He's good as Spider-Man. Wahlberg miscast.
This sums it up really well,
I think. There's like three good action scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All three of us took a piss at different points of the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us was too like, oh, is this, you know, it wasn't, it was like, I feel like going right now. So get, Knox walked out mid-fight scene. That tells you everything you need to know. It's like, normally you'd think,
there was running water in the fight scene, to be fair.
Yeah.
But normally you'd think like, oh, well, the end of this will be the good point to go. It's like, nah, you can just duck out at any point and not really miss anything of value.
And that's why I went during that, is because I knew that there'd be nothing happen. And then I was right. When I got back, they were in exactly the same situation as though that whole bit didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
I think I'd say as like a short review that it's disappointing in the fact that anything that's good in there is done better in the games.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that's bad in there is done better in the games. So like... it's not like, oh wow, I'm seeing it on the big screen. It is just a all around step down from playing any of the games after 2.
Yeah.
Which I guess I expected because it just is more fun. The games are done so well that I always felt like this would be a step down. I didn't hate it. Yeah, I found huge chunks of it boring. I thought the end stuff, like the action stuff, was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And stupid enough. Clearly not worried about looking too CGI or believable, mm-hmm. which was why it was annoying to me that they just didn't go hard. Just make it more stupid.
Yeah.
Just go, if you've got big budget and you're not fussed about it seeming, there's like a bit where the stuff that's falling out of the plane
mm-hmm.
and Tom Holland's on the bonnet of a car and he's just standing up. Like yeah. he's just on the ground
yeah. as this thing they is have like a conversation, racing through I believe, the air. While they're yeah. falling right. through the air. Yeah.
They have so long to do it. And then so let's
just do more of that.
That's
just
what
go
we all reckon of it. Yeah. Let's say
if you've got like a 12-year-old kid.
Right.
I think maybe they're if they've not seen like an Indiana Jones and this was like your first like a youngish, like
yep.
first-ish sort of action kind of adventure movie.
They say shit a lot. But yeah, there's no real violence. There's like yeah. a couple of moments where it should look violent and it's totally sanitized. So
yeah. there's one bit that's very downgrade. Yeah.
yeah.
Let's say from this point on, we might spoil it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all of like the I didn't think any of the action sequences were good except for the one that is from Uncharted 3.
Right.
Which is the plane thing.
Yep.
Which
yep.
they also didn't do a lot of. The stuff that was in I three from that.
Yeah, I get maybe
the
it
drive
was just,
up to the plane was the most exciting part yeah, of that for me.
That's
in
right.
the,
yeah.
And they skipped that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
found that bit. Maybe it was just the fact that it's in the trailer. We see it at the start of the film. Then we cut back and we're seeing bits of it again. And it's also like it's the bit that's playing in the like. I keep getting sponsored ads like
right.
through Instagrams.
Right.
So I just felt like I'd seen that bit kind of a billion times by this point.
I agree. Because
in addition to like it's fun to play it in the games, but
yeah. right.
when you're just watching a very obvious CGI, a guy
that,
just kind of like
ragdolling yeah.
himself across it, it's like there's no stakes here.
Yes,
so
exactly.
go more over the top with it.
Yeah.
Well, and there's no choreography to it either.
Yeah.
Right.
That was my problem with those action scenes, especially the one at the end with like the pirate ships, like just broke the laws of physics in a way that really bothered me.
yeah, right.
Where like they've got those two fucking chains on the hundreds yeah. of years old ships. It's like, well, they crumbled.
Yeah.
They should have snapped in half. That's
also,
insane.
The helicopters should have like twirled into each other and blown up about 15 times.
Yes, yeah, they're all yeah. smacking into hills and yeah. like all this shit's going wrong. And it just, it wasn't fun to suspend disbelief.
No, it wasn't Fast and Furious 5.
Yeah.
It was a shit movie.
And
I did find it fun, suspension
right,
of disbelief.
That specific
but
bit.
I felt like that shouldn't have been the end point. That shouldn't have been the furthest it went. If that was
right.
like, you know, if that was like a mid-level thing and then it got stupider from there,
yep.
then I probably would have ended up loving this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's just that it was so, it was like, I guess they didn't do anything with the idea other than go, wouldn't this look weird? And then,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like if you're going to go stupid with it, like, they had the ships kind of collide into each other or whatever, but it just didn't do anything fun and clever in an action movie where, like, so all those crates are coming out of the plane and no one's getting stuck by one and whack. Like, they're kind of getting...
You imagine, like, Spielberg directing that sequence and he would have used every part of every single thing in that cargo bay and it would have been this really well-choreographed
right.
scene.
Because I'm not asking for it to be, like, height of Jackie Chan or whatever.
Right.
But... like you can't not compare it to Indiana Jones because the movie itself does.
And they literally that annoyed that really bugged me for some stupid reason. It's like stay away from it. There's also we talked about this after the film, the annoying like thinking that it's doing this clever Easter egg of like Nate opens a box that he has and there's a Naughty Dog sticker in it, which is like oh yeah they come. But I was thinking about it. It's like. So what if in this world, what if Naughty Dog?
Yeah.
What are Naughty Dog?
Is, yeah.
So what? He's just like a deep Crash Bandicoot fan to the fact where he's like, love that dev man.
Yeah.
Just fucking want to represent the logo that's at the start of Crash Bandicoot. It's like, again,
they just
it's
didn't
like
make
this is
anything.
So nitpicky, but it's like, why is that fucking in there? It's so on the nose and shit.
Between Jack and Daxter and Last of Us, they just didn't do anything for a
while.
Yeah, that's the
Last
answer.
Last of Us just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's just a wild proposition.
Yeah.
But it's hard to, because I don't want to like be too negative and like shit on everything, but it's just one of those things where it is it's wasted potential is the thing that makes you feel bad about it more than like, oh, you know, like Doom is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Doom is a worse movie than this as well.
Absolutely.
But Doom is starting from a place where it's like, well, of course they weren't gonna make a good Doom movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
There are a handful of good Uncharted movies that already exist
right.
Yeah,
in the games. and they've taken a weird mashup of 3 and 4 and like some new stuff and kind of made a much blander version of a thing that already exists. So yeah. that is the thing where it's like, oh man, you really fell out of the plane on this one.
I felt like it was, I didn't hate it because it just being boring is probably the best you can hope for something like this, which is so heavily done by a committee.
Right.
That there's no, like, you know what I mean? There's no one guiding kind of figure who's like, this is the idea and this is what the story has to be. It's like all these different people kind of having their little ideas of what an Uncharted movie should be. Yeah.
Yes. It's just weird that none of them said, like, heart at any point.
Right.
Like, Indiana Jones, well, the Raiders of the Lost Ark was not made for money, you know? Mm. Like, it was made because the people making it were passionate about that kind of story, wanted to see it on the big screen, you know, grew up reading those serials. This movie was just made for money.
And like, at the time, though, Indiana Jones did well, and, like, the sequels were certainly made for money.
Sure,
third one is definitely better than this, at the very least, but probably all of them.
Right.
And, like, the thing that it misses out of that is exactly like you were saying, where, like, Nathan Drake's character is Indiana Jones, where he's, like, keeps getting fucked over and struggling back.
Right.
And Tom Holland didn't seem like he was struggling at any point.
Yeah.
No, he was the buff, ripped action hero who was cartwheeling over everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, they lost that part of the character, too, of the, like, take a punch and get back up.
Yes.
Well, it's also hard to, because it is, like, not to shit on the casting too much, because it's, you know, it is what it is, but he's a kid. He's a little kid, and the character of Nathan, the appeal of him is that he's not old, but he's not this, like, 19-year-old go-get. He still has a bit of, like, him getting hit and then getting back up. It's like he's an adult. Like, is he meant to be, like, mid-30s?
In that, to be fair, this is definitely set earlier than those, and it is, like, consciously being an origin story type of thing, which even Uncharted 1, he is already pretty hardened or whatever in the game. So I didn't have as much of a problem with that as I thought I might.
I think it just doesn't lend itself to the kind of stories that you expect from this genre. You know, like, you do need someone who's fucked around and, you know, like, been thrown in a Balinese jail. And, you know, like, you need someone who's messed up a bunch of times.
Right. And I get like trying to do the origin story, but it's like that's, I don't think that's what people want from this. Like, it's
maybe not.
It's more of an opportunity to make a fun movie if you bring him in. It's like, this is his life now.
Well, and I think the ball gets dropped in that department because Mark Wahlberg seems like he's never done it before either. Like, Sully is, they go like, oh yeah, remember, you know, random fucking European city, which is the way we know that we've done crimes before.
Right.
And, but you don't actually get the sense that he is that experienced in this either.
I felt like we were watching Mark Wahlberg in his New York apartment.
100%.
Yeah.
Walking around going, hey,
I knew you'd go for that.
If you're going to do that, like, Nathan Drake origin story thing, which is what they're trying to do with this, like, he puts on his little gun holster at the end and the Uncharted theme plays underneath. Like, they wanted it to be the fucking origin story thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Which isn't earned at all. He puts it on at a random point and takes it off from a corpse after he's done the same exact thing he's been doing the whole time.
Right.
He doesn't overcome anything in this movie. But then Sully doesn't either, and he's meant to be this mentor guy, but I call him mentor, mate.
I just think the origin thing is it's a misguided approach to it, because the people that... It's not like those of us that have played all the games are like, God, I'm dying to see the... It's like, no, we want to see that stuff up on the big screen. And people that don't care, that haven't played the games, I should say, that are going in completely fresh, what they'd probably like to see is the stuff that we all love from the games.
Right.
That, like, it's such a misguided approach to it.
What a bunch of executives have thought has been like, well, we got Tom Holland on the books, right? He's a Sony guy.
Yeah.
He's big, he's popular, and... hey, if Uncharted goes well as a movie, we'll want to make a bunch of them, you know? We'll make fucking billions of dollars. So why not cast a young guy? He can age into this character and we can make like 5 movies.
Yeah.
It's like, you did that for the wrong reasons, you know?
Yeah. Right, exactly. They've done it if you lay it all out on a checklist, it makes sense. But like, part of the thing in 2 was him and Chloe having this history that you don't know about
right.
in the story.
Right.
And they delete it from this by making her meet him fresh.
Yeah.
And
not having a particularly interesting bunch of interactions. Yeah. That,
there's no chemistry on in any of the scenes. And I wanted to see at least one lab.
Yeah.
Chemistry.
Yeah. Swipe some chemicals. But you're right. There's no chemistry between anyone in the film. Yeah.
It's
literally
one of the coldest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Thing too now of like every film, it seems now, having to have a post-credits thing.
Oh, sure.
There's two in this.
Yep.
And they are not earned and they don't have anything particularly interesting to set up or say.
Yeah. It's
just this thing now with movies. It's like, oh, is this the thing from now on where you just do it? Oh, fuck, it's annoying. Bugged me.
It is.
I think that bugged me more than anything else. It's like,
that's interesting.
Why set this up? Like, it's not, there's nothing exciting about it.
I'll tell you the way to fix that. Get up to go to the toilet for the second time right before that. And I was fine. I walked out of there, didn't learn about the mustache or the steel fucking things initiative.
Oh yeah.
I on Nintendo 69, I've often talked about how I think the MCU is shitty, but they execute what they're trying to do very well. It's never about the execution. It's my just sort of, you know, issues with where cinema is going. This was executed poorly.
Mm.
The great Marvel movies are full of charm and chemistry is like, that's what drives them.
Totally. It's all right.
There's none of that in this movie.
And doing a post-credits thing in the first one.
Yeah.
When it's like, you're watching it going like, this has been pretty shitty and I wonder if people are going to be... If you set this up and you never end up making the second one, well, then it just looks fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Tell you what, if you hate post-credit scene, you're going to hate watching The Wizard of Oz. Whole thing, post-credits.
Oh, yeah.
They play him right at the start.
Oh, right.
Your face went blanker than the script of this movie.
Sorry, I haven't watched Wizard of Oz lately enough.
It's like all old movies. I'm pretty sure you made that
joke on one of the Hollywood phonies that I edited.
I tell you what, it's a good joke. Mr. Bean, what if he got COVID? Yeah.
But we've said so much about a movie that itself said nothing.
I know, and we're being very complainy and stuff about it.
Nothing
literally
happens.
The majority of the film is three people running around with a key, trying to find the door that it opens, and again, it's like focusing on the puzzles for so long is just
they're bad puzzles,
uninteresting puzzles as well.
Treasure is a schlocky but entertaining movie. Indiana Jones has a bunch of puzzles, but it's the stuff in between that and the action that makes them interesting, and the stuff in between in this movie was just so boring.
Him putting the staff into the thing in the Chamber of Secrets or whatever.
Totally.
It has tension to it and drama because it's him getting one over on the Nazis and they're nearby, so it's tense. But one of their puzzles is, should we turn the lock to the right or to the left?
Yeah.
And there's no reason to think it wouldn't be to the right because that's every lock.
Yeah, yep.
But they ask it for no reason, and then Mark Wahlberg lies about knowing the answer for no reason.
Yeah.
Arrows shoot out and do nothing.
Yeah, they miss.
Like, it just, it's
you're right. I think you said it right at the start, Tommy. There's no stakes. You know that everyone in this movie is going to be just fine.
Yeah, and you kind of know that in any action movie. But there was just something about the action sequences in this, the way that they were filmed, that just doesn't feel dangerous. Even when they're like flying through the air on a crate, it looked more unrealistic than it does in the video game, which is all, there's no real people in that whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah.
And this looked less believable, even though it's like a bit of it's practical.
Yeah.
Like a bit of it's actually there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, and like all the games have had some kind of like fun sequence where you go into an auction house kind of thing, or like a fancy ball.
Right.
I always think those bits in the games are like really fun and they break it up a bit. They kind of do that in this, and that, like, that could have been a thing where you had like a mini heist. If that had been in there and there had been less puzzle shit and maybe like one more, even more bombastic kind of set piece, then I think I would have liked it a bit more.
Yeah.
I could have seen past all the other problems that are just sort of inherent about it. Like, I have huge problems with the casting, but at a certain point it's not worth worrying about that because that's just what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of missed opportunities ultimately. It's never a good sign when, like in the lead up to it, seen the director say, like, yeah, you know, we're trying to follow the games and put some of that stuff in, but we're ultimately just trying to make a fun movie. And it's like, well, I mean, no shit, you try. Of course you're trying to make, but yeah, you can follow the, you can, well, really follow the games and still make it. No, yeah, one's like, no, I want all the game stuff in there, but I also want it to not function as a movie at all.
Yeah. And that's, and I don't believe that director, because the Nolan, right, North thing is one of the craziest cameos I've ever, yes, seen in a, okay, movie. Yeah. That's the last thing, I guess, that maybe, yeah, we should, yeah, mention, is Nolan North is in the movie as like a
beach goer,
a tourist on a beach, right? Yeah. And he sees Chloe and Nate walk out of the ocean.
Yeah, they've just fallen out of the sky.
They're wearing regular clothes. Yeah. Yep. They've clearly gotten into some trouble, and he's sitting there with his fucking daiquiri going, yep, like, ah, you guys look messed up. What's going on? You had, yeah, a rough day?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we just fell out of a plane. He's like, something like that happened to me once. Good luck. What do you mean, good luck? Yeah. Call, yeah, them an oh, man.
It's, yeah, baffling, because it's like, all right, so the metatextual thing, yeah, because you voice, but it's like in real world, because they don't go, wow, they just go, oh, okay, and walk, yeah, off. It's like, well, no, that's interesting. That's, yeah, you would think that you'd, yeah, be there, and it's like you've just had this crazy, unique experience, and then literally the first person you've seen after that is like, the same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
And you're not going, what?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Are you also like a globe-trotting, you know, archaeologist treasure hunter?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I am.
I'm the same one. I'm, yeah, Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. Like,
just imagining the number of sessions where there'll be, of this movie, where there'll be a guy turning to his girlfriend and going, that's the guy that voices him in the games.
I'm breaking up with you. There's no,
I'm,
yeah,
fucking your brother.
Because you could have him, you know, be the manager at the bar he's working at the start and go like, I taught him everything he knows, or, yeah, whatever. There's a million
ways of doing it that's not
so uncreative.
So clunky. Yeah.
Yeah. Have him fall out of the plane too and be like, not again.
There's, yeah, you. I reckon someone can and should make a good Indiana Jones style movie in the near future.
I would love to see that.
It, like, the
Mission Impossible is the closest to that type, yeah, of like fun action movie. But like, but this is also trying to be in the vein of,
absolutely, it is.
I think if a sequel happens, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the sequel could end up, now that this shit is out of the way.
Maybe.
And they kind of maybe learn from it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uncharted 1 to 2 is a big leap.
Yeah, so very true.
They managed to do that
if
again.
If this is by design, well, we want to be faithful to, yeah, the video games, yeah, where the first one was just,
yeah,
you know, it didn't really make much of an impact.
But next, yeah, one, he'll be on a bloody train and it'll go off the cliff and, oh, you'll love it.
I'd be into that.
But I think even this one, like, I don't think the directing was awful. Like, there were some good editing choices and stuff. It was
pretty competently. And again, you have to, I think this director, the other stuff he's done has been pretty good.
Or you haven't seen Gangster Squad then.
No, I have not.
It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I think he's kind of,
Zombieland's fucking great.
Yeah, exactly. He's not some, yeah, he's
not a jobber. He's got a style, yeah.
Right, yeah. And I think he's just, I think he's done the best with what he's been given.
Yeah, the script, I think, was dog shit.
Yeah, he's taken a paycheck. It's not like his passion project that he's built from the ground up.
Yeah.
I think it's all pretty competently directed.
Yeah, I think I agree, yeah. I think, yeah, it's the script, specifically the dialogue, is just so flat and boring.
Yeah, yeah. That is the issue.
I think if you fix that,
yeah,
it could have been a 3.5 out of 5 setting up for a good sequel. But
yeah,
It was a snooze fest.
Yeah.
It really was. That's the worst thing about it.
It was really hard to focus on.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're living in a world where they've done a better job of making an interesting Sonic the Hedgehog movie that is kind of satisfying to watch over Uncharted, which is already a very cinematic game.
Yep.
I cannot believe that the completely one-dimensional character of Sonic has made a smoother transition to the big screen.
We'll get you back for what you did to the Dreamcast, cunts. We'll run you out of Hollywood.
But, Uncharted. Meh.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother.
Big meh.
But, you know, you'll watch it on a plane one day.
Yeah, for anyone who was waiting for our take on it, I imagine they're, you
knew.
If you're into it, you've already gone.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
All right, we better wrap it up here for another week on Filthy Casuals. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to the Patreon and the Bandcamp episodes, the YouTube channel where we've got heaps of videos of different Let's Plays and then a bunch of one-off kind of stuff on there as well.
Hollywood Phonies!
Check out Hollywood Phonies.
So fun. It's been very fun to record, so we hope it's as fun to listen to.
And thanks very much for listening. And we'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Whoa, 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 woeful.
That's good.
I've been sitting on it.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.